The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Second Canto, Chapter Number 7, Text Number 42. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari. Recorded on December 8th, 2016, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yesham Saha Esha Bhagavan Dayayet Ananta Sarva Atmana Ashrita Pada Yadi Nirvilikam Te Dustaram Atitaranti Cha Devamayam Na Esham Mama Aham Iti Dhi Shva Shrigala Bakaye Arbakshye Yesham ta esha bhagavan daya yad nananta Sarvatmana shitta pato yadi nivyalikam. I think we need a better tune. Yesham sa esha bhagavan daya. Let's see. That one doesn't work either. Let's try the Brahma Samhita. Yesham sa esha bhagavan daya yad ananta. Sarvatmana shritam pado yadi nirvyalikam. Te dushtaram atitaranti cha deva mayam. Naisham mamahamidhi sva shrigala bhakshye. Yesham sa esha bhagavan daya yad ananta. Sarvat manashrita pado yadi nirvyalikam. Te dustaram atitaranti cha jeva mayam. Naisham mamaham iti dhi shva srigala bhakshye. Yesham, unto those only, Saha, the Lord, Esha, the Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, Dayayet, does bestow his mercy, Ananta, the unlimited potential, Sarva Atmana, by all means without reservation, Ashrita Pada, surrendered soul, Yadi, if such surrender, Nirvyalikam, without pretension, Te, those only, Dustaram, insurmountable, Atitaranti, can overcome, Cha, and the paraphernalia, Devamayam, diverse energies of the Lord. Na, not, Esham, of them, Mama, mine, Aham, myself, iti, thus, di, conscious, shva, dogs, shrigala, jackals, bhakshye, in the matter of eating. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. But anyone who is specifically favored by the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, due to unalloyed surrender unto the service of the Lord, can overcome the insurmountable ocean of illusion and can understand the Lord. But those who are attached to this body, which is meant to be eaten at the end by dogs and jackals, cannot do so. Purport. The unalloyed devotees of the Lord know the glories of the Lord in the sense that they can understand how great the Lord is and how great is His expansion of diverse energy. Those who are attached to the perishable body can hardly enter into the realm of the science of Godhead. The whole materialistic world, based on the conception of the material body as the self, is ignorant of the science of God. The materialist is always busy working for the welfare of the material body, not only his own, but also those of his country, of his children, kinsmen, countrymen, community men, etc. The materialists have many branches of philanthropic and altruistic activities from a political, national, international angle of vision, but none of the field work can go beyond the jurisdiction of the misconception of identifying the material body with the spirit soul. Unless, therefore, one is saved from the wrong conception of a body and the soul, there is no knowledge of Godhead. And unless there is knowledge of God, all advancement of material civilization, however dazzling, should be considered a failure. Prabhupada explains here how the material civilization, however dazzling, should be considered a failure. So, it is quite dazzling actually nowadays. They have all their fancy things, the jet planes and the internet and so many things. One can be very easily dazzled by it. Or as it's sometimes said, razzle-dazzled by this material civilization. But one has to see through the razzle-dazzle. He has to see through all the glitter of this material civilization and see that the whole thing is based on ignorance. They are misidentifying the material body as being the actual self. And therefore, they are relegating themselves to go down to the lower species in their next lives. So what's the good of all this fancy thing? You may have a very nice smartphone, maybe flying in a 747. If you're going to be taking birth as an animal in your next life, what is the value of your smartphone? Will it save you the time of death? Is it? So we should be a little intelligent and not be carried away by the dazzle, the glitter. There's a saying, all that glitters is not gold. Is it? So it's very glittery, very flashy. It's like we recently in Kansas City, Missouri, they have a big festival every year. What are they called? The Festival of Lights? What was it called? The whole downtown area is lit up like with Christmas lights over every building. There's all these decorative lights and they have a fireworks display and people come from all over America to see it. Thousands of people come to the city to see the lights. Of course, they went there with the Harinam party to give them the real light. You see. But they're just completely dazzled by it, you see. The whole thing is based on an illusion of the body is the self, you see. They can't see the difference. I mean, it's so obvious. Dehi nosmin yata dehe kumaram jovanam jara tata dehantara praptir dirastata namhuyati. The body is changing at every minute, but the self remains the same. They can't see the simple fact. The body is changing constantly. Just like the water molecules in a river, they're constantly changing. You see? It's like in the U.S., they have the big river, Mississippi River, you see. There's two other rivers that feed into it, Ohio River, Missouri River, becomes a huge river, you see. So those water molecules that are sitting inside the river, you may say, oh, this is Mississippi River water, but yesterday it was Ohio River. Tomorrow it'll be dumped in the Gulf of Mexico. It'll be Gulf of Mexico water. So what you're thinking is your body, what you're thinking is you, these chemicals. You see, here we are sitting in this room. I'm inhaling, I'm exhaling. We're trading chemical molecules with each other just by sitting in the same room. I'm walking out of here with part of your body and my body. You see what I'm saying? We're switching bodies constantly. Every time you eat, every time you go to the toilet, there's a constant flow of, by the breathing, by the eating, by the evacuation, a constant flow of chemicals. The molecules are always changing. They're never the same. Constant flux. But yet I have a constant sense of identity. In my own life, I can look back to 1949 or something like that. I remember I was a little baby in the crib, and there was some new invention that had just been introduced in America called the television. And I remember looking through the bars of the crib, my little baby crib, looking at this television set on the counter. You see, some flashing things on the TV set. That was, you know, 1949, that was like, what, 67 years ago or something like that. But the body is completely different, but still I remember that, you see. So you have to understand, you and your body are completely different. Even people who believe in the soul, they think the body is somehow part of the soul. They have a hard time making a clear distinction, completely cutting it off, you see. It's very important. You have to cut with the sword of knowledge any sense of identification with the material body. It has nothing to do with you except like a garment, you're wearing it temporarily, you see. I'm wearing this chatter, I can take it off in a minute, you see. So you're wearing that body, you can take it off in a minute by suicide. Of course, we don't do that. It's because this body has been given to us for a specific purpose by Krishna. Krishna has given you this body for a specific purpose to engage in his service. You have a human body specifically given to you for the purpose of self-realization. Atato brahma jigyasa. That's why you have a human body, you see. A bird flies in the sky, a fish swims in the ocean, a human being takes up self-realization. If you do not take up self-realization, you're an animal. If I can be a little pointed, we're simply animals if we don't take up self-realization. So don't think this religious life is something, you know, on the side to enhance my material life. This is what most people do who are religious. They take it as something to enhance their material life. Do not think like this. Do not think like this. That will not get you out of the cycle of birth and death. If you want actual happiness, you have to understand I have one duty, one duty only, and that is to fully surrender myself to Krishna. Whatever he wants to do with me, that's all right. I'm simply his servant, that's all, nothing else. I can realize that I'm the Jivera Svarupa Hoy, Krishnara Nitya Das, that I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. You see? And whatever I do, it has to be for Krishna. As Prabhupada points out, it's not they want to serve the body and the body of their children, their kinsmen, their community men, their countrymen. Don't think by serving the bodies of your family members that you're somehow elevated beyond the material platform. You are not. The animals also serve their own family members. We had one dog, I remember, when I was a little boy. And when the puppies would pass stool, she would clean it up by eating it. You see, she was keeping her puppies very clean by eating their stool. You see. So it's not just by serving your family members' bodies that you're somehow elevated beyond the animal platform. You are not. The animals also serve the bodies of their family members. If you want to get beyond the animal platform, you have to come to the level of Bhagavan Seva, serving Krishna. That's where you actually become liberated from animal consciousness and actually come to the human form. Someone may say, well, it sounds a little too heavy for me. I'd rather just kind of take it easy. If you don't mind, please don't be so heavy with us, because I'd rather just kind of take it easy and enjoy life a little bit. Maybe later on I'll get serious about spiritual life. Come on, don't be so heavy with this. But wait a minute. How long do you think you're going to live? Do you think you're guaranteed to live another 5 years, another 1 year? How about another 5 minutes? Can any of you absolutely guarantee you will live for 5 more minutes in this body? No, we cannot guarantee even 5 more minutes. Anyone can drop dead at any time, you see. So you have to become very serious now about awakening your divine consciousness within. You become very serious, you see. Let me now reestablish my lost relationship with Krishna. He's my eternal Lord. I'm actually a citizen of His kingdom. I am a Vaikuntha-ite or a Krishna Loka-ite. I'm not actually a resident of this material existence. This is my home. I'm a citizen of the spiritual world. But I've been misidentifying material bodies for so long, I actually think I belong in this world. We do not belong here. You know how long this place is going to last? It's going to be, according to the time of Mahavishnu, it's going to be inhaled in a minute, and the whole thing will be destroyed. Finished. This earth, the sun, this whole universe, the whole conglomeration of millions and billions of universes, within a second of Mahavishnu's time, they're all going to be inhaled and destroyed. So do not identify yourself with matter. Do not foolishly continue to misidentify yourself with this material energy. If you do so, you're simply cheating yourself big time. If you had an inheritance of millions and billions of dollars and you didn't claim it, and you're living in poverty, wouldn't that be stupid? You inherited $1 billion, but you're living in poverty, standing on the side of the road with a sign begging for food, you see. You're actually the richest person in the whole world, but you're begging for food. Wouldn't that be stupid? Well, that's what we're doing right now. We have the wealth of Krishna Prema sitting within our hearts. That wealth of Krishna Prema is so powerful, it's so opulent, Krishna actually becomes under your control. The one who has Prema, he actually controls Krishna. It's like Mother Jasoda. You naughty boy, he's running. You see. Or Arjuna, you drive my chariot here. To Krishna. So, one who becomes completely dedicated to Krishna, Krishna becomes completely sold out to him. So we have that position. We have the position of one who can actually tell God what to do in our pure bhakti state. He becomes under our direction. It's amazing, but that's it. Prabhupada taught us that. We didn't learn this in Christianity. I was raised as a Christian. We were never taught that God can become under your control, you see. But Prabhupada taught us this, you see. Krishna is ajita, he's unconquerable, but he is jita, are conquered by the love of his devotee. They don't teach this anywhere else. This is Prabhupada's, this is the great contribution of Gaudiya Vaishnavism to the world. This is the highest understanding of the science of God. This is higher than PhD, you see. Post-PhD education here. You don't need a PhD degree. You know what PhD stands for? Plow driver. Plow driver. Let the PhDs get out and plow the field and grow some food and do something beneficial for society. Instead of deluding us with all this bogus, like that Dr. Stephen Hawking, he says everything comes out of nothing. And they think, oh, Dr. Hawking says everything comes out of nothing. So because Dr. Hawking says that everything comes out of nothing, therefore everything comes out of nothing, because Dr. Hawking says it all comes out of nothing. Can you imagine how ludicrous is that? Science means there has to be an experiment. You have to have data to back up your theory. He just pulls a theory out of the air because it's cute. because it gives him prestige. He pulls a theory out of the air because they have a PhD title. They think, oh, just see, this is now we know from Dr. Hawking's, everything comes out of nothing. Can you get anything out of nothing? I tried it in Malaysia. I told thee before. I took a pot of empty. I tested Dr. Stephen Hawking's theory. I took an empty pot. I really like popcorn, by the way. So I put the empty pot on the stove. I turned on the burner and I went pop, 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 and no popcorn came out. You see, no popcorn came out of the empty pot. So if you can't get popcorn out of an empty pot, how can you get a universe out of nothing? I mean, it's such common sense. But these PhDs, they cannot understand. They're too bewildered by the other PhDs' word jugglery. You see, we're not interested in word jugglery. We want to know what is actually true. We want to know what works. It's like my book, Truth Works, you see. Something is actually true, it works. Show me anybody that can become liberated from birth and death by embracing Dr. Hawking's philosophy that everything comes out of nothing. Will that liberate you from birth and death? No. It'll keep you entangled in birth and death. The actual knowledge that will deliver you, you see, that is the truth, you see. Whatever actually liberates you from all anxieties, from illusion, from all the negative things that you're bombarding our consciousness and making us miserable, that knowledge which actually drives away all the darkness of ignorance, that is real knowledge. Raja vidya raja guyam pavitam itam uttamam pachakshavagamam dharmyam shushukam kartamam yuyam. This knowledge is the king of education. It's the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge. And because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion, and it is everlasting, and it is joyfully performed. Susukam. I love that Sanskrit word, susukam. Sukam means happiness. And susukam means very, very happy, or the perfection of happiness, you see. So this Krishna consciousness is not sukam, it is susukam. You see? Material happiness is sukam. Today, sukha, tomorrow, asukha, back and forth, you see. Sukha, 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 sukha. Constantly being bounced around by the waves. But susukam is transcendental happiness. It cannot be pinched by any material disturbances, you see. When you become truly Krishna conscious, you are experiencing unlimited bliss at every minute. Nothing can ever disturb that happiness. Nothing external can mess with your Krishna consciousness once you actually have it. So that's the rarest thing, if one can achieve pure bhakti. So what should we be hankering for in life? A better position in ISKCON? A better position in our job? More money? More prestige? Don't be a fool. We should have one desire and one desire only, and that is to develop pure love for Krishna within our hearts. That is worthwhile. Everything else is simply shamva evi kevalam, a useless waste of time. Unless you can engage something in Krishna's service, kick it out. It's not worth your endeavor. It's not worth your meditation. It's not worth your energy. Only do those things which will enhance your Krishna consciousness and can be engaged in facilitating your Krishna consciousness. That you endeavor. Other things, just don't be a stupid idiot to embrace other things. Why do you want to hurt yourself spiritually by holding on to material things? Does it make any sense? If I gave you a knife, would you cut your throat? So why are we going after these material things still in our mind, hankering for this, hankering for that? You see? Why are we doing it? Why are we still hankering after sex desire? Why are you still lusty? You see? It doesn't make any sense. Devotees to hanker, they feel lust in their heart, they meditate on sex sometimes. Why? Why bother with these things? Kick it out. Jamunacharya Albandru, he says, Yadavati Mama Chaita Krishna Pararavinde Nava nava rasadamunya charantu masit tadavadi patanari sangame smaryamani bhavati mukushushti mstiva namcha. Ever since I've engaged in the transcendental loving service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, tasting nava nava rasa, ever increasing pleasure in that service, if my mind ever thinks of sex life, I just spit at the thought. So when sex desire comes, just spit. Spit it out. Get out of here, you rascal. Cupid, Kamadeva, go shoot your arrows somewhere else. You're not welcome here. I'm no longer your target, Kamadeva. Take your little quiver of arrows and go shoot somebody else's heart full of arrows. Now I have my love, and that is Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. They are the object of my loving affection now, not this sex desire, you see. Radha and we're interested in sex, not ours, this sex relationship, Prabhupada says. That is the original sex, the Adi Rasa, the relationship between Radha and Krishna. That we're interested in, this loving affair between Radha and Krishna. It's not based on sex, physical sex. This is what we're interested in. What is the wonderful loving affair between Sri Sri Radha and Krishna? I don't need a love affair. I just need to meditate on this love affair of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. See, this will give me unlimited pleasure. So, what time are we usually in? 8:30? Do we have any questions? Here's some coming in on paper. We have about 20 devotees online now from all over the world as well. If they have questions, they can post them. Yeah, I forgot y'all have a lot of questions here. Prabhupada comments, if you can get Krishna to smile upon you, just once your life is fulfilled. How do I know if Krishna smiled? But if Krishna smiles upon you, you'll know it. You won't have to ask how you know. You'll know it. And in this verse, there's the word nirvyalikam, without pretension. What does it mean? Pretension. In the verse, how does he translate it? Pretension means to, without, to pretend something means to fake. To fake it. Something is without pretension, it means it's completely straightforward. It's completely honest. There's no duplicity. How can the infinitesimal control the infinite? It sounds illogical. By the mercy of the infinite. How does the infinite can do anything? The infinite can allow himself to be controlled by the infinitesimal. You're saying it sounds illogical, but that means you're not giving infinite power to the infinite. That is, you're trying to put a restriction on the infinite. The infinite cannot give power to the infinite can do whatever he wants. You're saying it sounds illogical, the infinite, namely Krishna, can be controlled by his devotee. Why illogical? Krishna can do whatever he wants. Is Krishna under your direction? You say Krishna is not logical for you to be controlled by your devotee. Therefore, I don't think you should do it. Because to me, it's not logical. Well, whose logic runs the universe? Your logic or Krishna's logic? How to stop hankering after material objects? Start hankering for Krishna. Question from India. I was telling to my school friends that Chand Kazi had got the darshan of Allah. One of my school friends who was a Muslim said that Allah has never given darshan to Prophet Muhammad. Has Allah not given darshan to Prophet Muhammad? Well, if the according to the Quran, Allah has not seen Muhammad has not seen Allah, then he hasn't seen Allah. But if he comes to Krishna consciousness, we can teach him how to have the darshan of Allah. We will teach all the Muslims how they can have darshan of Allah. And Prophet Muhammad also, if he didn't have it. But Prabhupada considered him to be a pure devotee, so how that's possible doesn't make sense to me. Prabhupada listed him as a pure devotee. Okay, let's see. Jagai and Madai were very sinful, yet they were delivered easily by Lord Chaitanya. their sins were unlimited, didn't they commit any Vaishnava parad, and they are so easily delivered by the mercy of Mahaprabhu? No, it was the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Sorry. Lord Chaitanya was going to kill those rascals. But Lord Nityananda is even more merciful than Lord Chaitanya. By his mercy, they were delivered. I heard that we need to take 3 lives if we're going back to Godhead. Who told you that nonsense? If it's not in the books, don't believe it. There's so many false prophets. There's so many false things going around ISKCON. Prabhupada said this, Prabhupada said that. If it's not in the books, don't believe it. You know the problem you all are having? You don't read the books. Even I gave a lecture to 300 brahmacharis in Pune. I said, how many of you read all the books? You know, man, how many raised their hand? Out of 300 brahmacharis, how many think have read all the books? One brahmachari only had read all the books. In that room, there were only 2 devotees that read all the books, me and that one brahmachari. So if you want to be free from all this false stuff that goes around ISKCON, it takes 3 lives to go back to Godhead, read the books. Read all the books, cover to cover, carefully. And once you read them once, read them again. And once you read it again, you keep reading your whole life. You'd be looping the loop through all the Prabhupada's books. Otherwise, what are you doing? Watching television? Watching videos? What are you doing with your spare time? Talking nonsense, gramikata? Why are you not reading the books? You say such stupid things. 3 lives. Or you hear such... You have to understand. Our Prabhupada's books are the basis of our movement, not gossip. Also, Srila Prabhupada says, even if we reach something, Krishna consciousness, we can go back. I don't know if I understand the question correctly. One can fall down from the spiritual world because the freedom is always there to leave. You're never chained. Put in a ball and chain in Goloka Vrindavan, you can't leave. You have the freedom to leave, fall down if you want to. But why does Krishna say, Punar Janma Navijate, they never fall down again? Because once you taste the material world, you won't want it again. There's a saying, once burned, twice shy. You see? So let's say you fall down the material world, here we are, it did happen, we're here. We finally get out of here, we go back to Godhead. And if you had an opportunity to fall down again, would you want to do it? No way. I've already been through that. 8,300,000 births, you know, becoming a donkey, becoming a snake, becoming a scorpion, becoming a demigod, becoming Indra, becoming... I've been through it, sorry. Having to work, the 9-to-5 shift. All this garbage I went through, you know. Having to go to school, having to wear a diaper. All this horrible things I went through. Do we want to do it again? No way. Sorry, Maya Devi, you're not interested. But I'll make you Indra. I'll make you Brahma. No, sorry, I'm not interested. It's called, once burned, twice shy. Once you've tasted the material life, you could. You have full freedom, but I guarantee you, once you go back to Godhead, you won't be interested in the material world ever again. Unless you want to come back for preaching, then you can do that. Come back as a preacher. You see? Yes. Yes, so what's the question?
In his association, he fell down. So how is that possible that we can do it again?
He was associated with the Lord Chaitanya in the material world, not in the spiritual world. Thing is, even if you're in the spiritual world and you're serving directly Lord Chaitanya, you can fall down once. Because how do we get here? Some people say, well, we must have never been in Godhead, otherwise how could we ever fall down? So then why does Prabhupada say that our magazine is called Back to Godhead? If I say, just like I've been in Mauritius, I was in Mauritius earlier in the year, I said, now I'm going back to Mauritius. That means I was there before, right? Back to Godhead means I was there before, now I'm going back. If we were never in Godhead, never in the spiritual world, then how is the magazine called Back to Godhead? It would just be called To Godhead instead of Back to Godhead, you see. Back to Godhead means we were with Krishna and we fell down from that position. So it's possible to be with Krishna or with Lord Chaitanya and fall down from that position. That's why we're all here. Okay? It is confirmed that TV does more harm than good. Is it not child abuse to let us kids to let a kid before a TV set, to leave a kid? Yeah, you shouldn't have a TV in your house. I mean, have kind be kind to your kids. Get out rid of the television. Don't have a television. You shouldn't be watching mundane television in your house, spoiling your kids' brains with this garbage. Kick it out. After being in ISKCON for so many years, I just realized that I am so far from being a devotee. Jai, now you're making a little advancement. Congratulations. Please let me tell me what is the meaning of a devotee. A devotee means one who is devoted to Krishna, is not devoted to his senses anymore. He simply wants to serve Krishna 24/7. That's a devotee. He's no desire for sense gratification. How to preach boldly without offending the persons we are preaching to? Candy coating. You have to put a lot of candy on the sharp words. Depends. You all are dedicated devotees, so I can be heavy with you. When I'm preaching to somebody, I meet somebody on the street, I wouldn't be like that to them. You can see how Prabhupada preached. You can be soft as a rose or strict as a thunderbolt. For those who are prepared, you can give them the thunderbolt, and it's good for them. Zap! You see, it's good for them. Zap them with a thunderbolt. See, the session just terminated. I got to turn on the session again. So you can be heavy with those who are dedicated devotees who actually want someone to help them get free of their anarthas. You see, for those who are brand new, who are just not having heard about Krishna yet, you are just beginning the pathway. You can be very, very. Soft like a rose, massaging them, you see. So you have to, the preacher has to judge very intelligently his audience and speak to them in such a way that it will help them to advance in Krishna consciousness. What is the difference when one preaches Ram and God and one Krishna is God? There's no difference. Ram and Krishna are both the Supreme Person. They're the same. Actually, Ram is Krishna himself in a particular rasa of having only one wife. Please elaborate on Yoga Maya and Maya. Well, Maya is the illusory energy. Yoga Maya is the spiritual energy. Kamadeva is the grandson of Krishna. There's one instance in Bhagavatam where the queens of Krishna were confused between Krishna and Kamadeva because they resembled so much. The queens can be confused. What about us? Well, I'll tell you this. Next time you feel lusty, don't think you're having an awakening of Krishna praying within your heart. I'm really attracted to that girl over there. This must be an awakening of Krishna praying within my heart. I mean, come on. It's so obvious. One is pulling you down to the bodily plane, the sex organs, actually, where you're really heading, towards your sex organs, your genitals. That's where you're being pulled by your consciousness. And the other is pulling you out of your body to this the eternal identity of a servant of Krishna in the spiritual world. It's such a clear difference. I don't know why you'd be confused about that, you see. It's a very clear distinction. So any more questions from the online? If there's any questions, they got deleted because we went offline and it came on again. So all the questions were, if there are any online questions, they've all been deleted. If there's any online questions, I'll be happy to answer them, but actually our time is up. We've hit the 8:30 mark. So we wanted to thank everybody. Oh, here's some. All right, we'll just leave it to these questions. No new questions now. Bhakti Jesse from Nashville, Tennessee. I want out of this material world in this lifetime. How to achieve this in a single life? Can I do it? thing is, you have to chant 16 rounds of Hare Krishna mantra at least every day, and you have to follow the four regulative principles: no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication and gambling, and you have to become initiated by the bona fide spiritual master, and you have to be obedient to him. There's a very simple thing. It's like we have a tripod for holding up microphones. There's a tripod over there holding up that amplifier, three legs on the tripod. So we have three legs that will make you strong for going back to Godhead. One is to take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. Number two is you get initiated by the bona fide spiritual master. Number three, you obey the spiritual master. Some people get initiated, but they don't think because it's a prestige. Oh, I'm initiated, Prabhu. My name is so-and-so. But they don't obey the spiritual master, so that's useless. Such devotees will not go back to Godhead because they're not obeying their Guru Maharaj. Is it? So if you, it's like a tripod with two, if that amp stand had only two legs, they would fall over, boom, finished. If you simply have shelter and diksha, you'll fall down. But shelter, diksha, and obedience, that makes you solid in Krishna consciousness. So that's what you have to do, Bhakti Jesse. You take shelter of Guru, get initiated, and you must be fully obedient to your spiritual master, then you will definitely achieve perfection of going back to home, back to Godhead. And one last question from V.K. Huh? Oh, Braj Kishore in Kaunas, Lithuania. Is it possible to continue to be in the higher states of consciousness while operating in the material world? Yes. In the world, but not of the world, as they say in Christianity. It's a valid principle. You have to... It's like Prabhupada's a pure devotee, and he's operating very powerfully in the material world for delivering it. You see, the spiritual master's mission is to make the whole world happy. The spiritual master's mission is to deliver every single living entity in this material world back to home, back to God. That's his mission. So such a spiritual master is in a pure state of Krishna bhakti. At the same time, he's operating in the material world for delivering the fallen souls back to Krishna. Okay, so our time is up, and for those who are online, I'm going to go ahead and make up a schedule so all of you know ahead of time when the classes will be happening online. And for those of you who are on my e-course also, you'll be notified where all the lectures are going to be held, etc. So we thank you very much for coming. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Prema Nandi.
Disgrace Srimad Sankarshan Das and Gaura Maharaj ki jai.